Northern Ireland's accident and emergency departments during January. The latest figures from the Department of Health showing the number increased by almost 300 despite fewer patients attending emergency departments. Let me speak to Louise Skelly from the Patient and Client Council.
Good morning, Frank.
Louise, good morning. These figures, do they surprise you?
No, they don't. Unfortunately, we are in a situation where waiting times are increasing across the board, not only for A&E, but for other services. And at the HSC board last week, I was saying to them that they need to come out and let the public know exactly what the level of service that the people can expect in terms of waiting times, not only for in emergency departments, but also for waiting times for surgery and waiting times for outpatient appointments. These are increasing. This is a worrying trend, and behind every wait is a story, is a family who are concerned. One of the big problems has been the focus on A&E, because the reality is the focus should not be on A&E. The focus should be in those services which impact on A&E. For example, we know within our work here in the Patient and Client Council that people are waiting between 8 and 10 hours on some occasions for a ring back from GP out of hours, and that's in the southern area in particular. So if you've got a baby with a high temperature and you're in the middle of the night and you're waiting on a GP to ring you back from 8 to 10 hours, well, I'm sorry, what you're going to do is you're going to go to A&E. That means that people are in the wrong place, because that's the only place they can get to see someone.
I'm just looking at a lady called Debbie who's tweeting the programme just as I started this conversation. The tweet came in before the start of the chat. And she just tweets the programme. She says, standing room only here at the A&E in the Royal Hospital. Again, people are being put at risk with so many waiting to be seen. So there's the frustration coming across. But you think if there was a better system in place, the likes of Debbie or the other Debbies who are there mightn't be in A&E at all?
A number of very important things. The focus is on A&E is sometimes a wee bit unfair, to be honest with you, because it's the other services around A&E which cause the blockages in A&E. A&E is a way of getting into service and sometimes a way of getting out of it as well. So the thing about it is, if you have difficulties getting through to your GP, which you can during the day, or getting GP out of hours, or in some cases minor injuries units are now being closed, and then people have difficulties getting into a bed when they go into A&E, so because they can't get people out of beds at the other end, the whole system is not working, and then the focus is unfairly, I think, on A&E, and that's what's causing the problems. The other thing is there's good information about the waiting times in A&E available within the system. That information should be made available to the public. For example, if Debbie knew that, for example, the waiting time in the Mater was 2 hours and the waiting time in the Royal was 6 hours, well, she could choose to go to the Mater as opposed to go to the Royal, and so on and so on. So again, this is about getting the right information out to the public so they can choose better as well. So we feel that this is a real issue which the whole system needs to address.
I was speaking to the Health Minister this morning on the programme for the saddest of reasons, because he is now a client of the hospital system because his wife is seriously ill.
Yes, that's right.
And, you know, I spoke to him for the best part of 20 minutes on air this morning, and he was very open about his experiences in the hospital. And he said while he was in there primarily worried and concerned about his wife, he was also keeping an open ear and an open eye to what he's seeing around him and learning from the experience of being there mm-hmm. practically almost every night for the last three weeks. Mm-hmm. Can the likes of the Health Minister or equivalent people in a ministry resolve the issue? Is it possible to resolve the issue?
Well, Northern Ireland is not a huge place, and there is significant resources in health and social care. And, you know, the problems are not, I would have thought, insurmountable. But they need to work in partnership with the patients and the service users, because decision makers and people, senior managers and clinicians for that matter, don't have all the answers. And people who, like Mr. Wells at the moment, are in the system, are observing it, and people with long-term conditions, cancer patients who are maybe coming through the service for 5 years, they have a huge amount of experience that can help improve their experience. Just sometimes small things make a huge difference. And I think if we can get together and have those really good partnership approach to how we develop services here in Northern Ireland, it'll make for a better future.
Staff and unions, do they have to be prepared for change?
Well, I think everybody has to be prepared for change, including the patients. I think we have to think differently about what the future looks like, and I think that I wouldn't single out any one party in the whole process. I think the future is going to be different, and we've got to be more imaginative. We have greater needs. We haven't a huge amount of funding. We have a lot of money, but it's not an endless pot of money, and we've got to think differently as a society about how we do that.
Louise, good speaking to you. Thanks for your time this morning. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.